A legislative audit finds that the University of Utah Red Zone stores could be violating non-competition policies. Regulators warn of the dangers of ozone, and parking meters in Salt Lake City will go back online starting Wednesday. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Tuesday, July 9th. I'm Brian Grimmett. A legislative audit released on Monday accuses the University of Utah of competing with private businesses by selling U of U merchandise at its off-campus Red Zone stores. The audit says the university needs to change the way it does business or state lawmakers should step in. KUER's Whitney Evans reports.
Republican State Representative Johnny Anderson says he first became concerned about higher education competing with the private sector last year when employees of the Dixie State College-run television station were under fire for leasing its broadcast vehicle out for non-university purposes.
I don't think that government entities should be going into business and competing with the private sector in order to generate additional revenues for those government entities.
Anderson says state law has never restricted a university's ability to compete with the private sector because the Board of Regents has always had such a policy. But he says some of the University of Utah's businesses don't comply with that policy, especially the Red Zone stores.
If the Board of Regents said these things have been operating in violation with our policy, we believe in our policy. We believe that we should not be competing with the private sector in these areas. We're now going to enforce that policy. You know, there'd be no reason for the legislature to step in. But my concern would be if the Board of Regents simply said, well, these have been operating in violation with our own policy, so we're going to change our policy to allow it.
Spencer Jenkins is a spokesperson for Higher Education Commissioner Dave Buehler. He says finding new revenue streams without competing with the private sector is a challenging balance, but the Board of Regents plans to update its current policy before the end of this year.
What it will entail is how institutions, again, are able to publicize their services and to what populations or what communities that includes. What does it mean to advertise to alumni or to a fan base or to students, faculty, staff? Hopefully providing some clarity there.
University of Utah officials say they'll meet with the Board of Regents to discuss the new policy. Whitney Evans, KUER News.
A new report released yesterday reveals that some Utah prison inmates and fugitives have been receiving public assistance. Staff from the Office of the Legislative Auditor General found 179 inmates and 281 fugitives accessed some form of welfare benefits during January of 2012. Nick Dunn is the Public Information Officer for Utah's Department of Workforce Services, and he says DWS officials will take steps to better oversee the distribution of benefits.
We're going to determine how can we best make sure that we're sending food stamps and other benefits to the people who deserve it, while still using our funds efficiently to be able to run these programs. And so it's still in the very preliminary stages of just figuring out what the next step is to make that improvement.
The report looked at a sample of the state's fugitives and inmates during 1 month last year. Dunn says DWS officials have set a deadline of September to understand the scope of the problem. They plan to have a procedure in place to oversee benefit distribution by January of next year.
Utah regulators are trying to educate people on the dangers of ozone, an invisible component of smog that doctors say taxes the lungs of even healthy people. KUER's Andrea Smartin reports.
The press conference took place under clear blue skies at a park in Woods Cross, with children playing nearby. It seemed like a nice day, but director of the state's Division of Air Quality, Bryce Bird, says ozone often goes overlooked because people can't see it.
We may be all fall into that trap a little bit, that it's a beautiful sunny day outside, we should be outside and exercising, but when we get the afternoon spikes in ozone, it does impact people with underlying respiratory conditions, with asthma, young children, elderly adults as well. And our underlying message is you can't trust your eyes.
Deputy Director of the Utah Department of Health, Robert Rolfe, says state officials are beginning to understand the dangers of ozone pollution and are advising people to avoid heavy exertion outside when ozone levels are high.
I think we're increasingly learning that it is a dangerous chemical that has long-term consequences. But I think the evidence is there that this is shortening people's lives, particularly for people who already have heart disease or asthma. It's a real concern.
State officials say ozone levels are generally highest between noon and 6 p.m., and the safest time to exercise is in the morning before noon and after sunset. They advise people to check the state's website, airquality.utah.gov, for current and forecasted pollution levels. Ozone has yet to hit dangerous levels this summer. Readings around Salt Lake City have hovered just inside the safe zone. But officials warn wildfire smoke and stagnant conditions can raise ozone to dangerous levels. Andrea Smartin, KUER News.
A judge refused to issue a protective order yesterday for a criminal defendant who says the Utah Attorney General's office has been harassing his lawyers. Mark Jensen is accused of fraud and money laundering in connection with a failed resort and development in southern Utah. His attorney says his law office got a call last month from the chief deputy attorney general warning him to be careful about what he was saying about prosecutors. Kirk Torgensen denies he said anything threatening in that phone call. Jensen has alleged that Attorney General John Swallow and his predecessor, Mark Shurtleff, exploited his legal troubles years ago for favors, cash, and vacation stays, accusations both men have denied. Salt Lake City has been fixing the problems with its new high-tech parking meter system, and it plans to have the blue kiosks operating again tomorrow. A spokesperson for Mayor Ralph Becker says hardware problems related to the hot weather combined with software failures to take the system down 10 days ago. Two men survived a helicopter crash yesterday in American Fork Canyon. Utah County authorities say a gust of wind forced the helicopter into a mountainside near Tibble Fork Reservoir about 8:30 a.m. Both men were injured, but they were able to crawl out of the wreckage and called 911. And finally, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is marking the organization of its 100th stake in Peru. A stake is a group of 5 to 12 congregations. Peru is the fourth country in the world with at least 100 stakes. The others are Mexico, Brazil, and the United States. The church's membership in Peru has doubled in the last two decades to about 528,000. And that is your KUER News Pod for Tuesday, July 9th. For the latest news and updates from around the state, visit us online at KUER.org or follow us on Twitter at KUER News. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.